Morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, as individuals, every one of us, Lord, that into our hearts and lives today, that by your Spirit you would speak. And Father, we just receive that. Lord, we open our hearts and we pray, Father, that you would just accomplish in us today what you desire. And Lord, I believe you for that. I thank you for the fruit, the results, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. We're going to read verses 31 through 36. John chapter 8, 31 through 36. Truth will set you free. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." First of all, we need to take note of who it is that Jesus is speaking to in this passage of Scripture. He's not speaking to unbelievers. He's not speaking to Pharisees. He's speaking to the Jews who believed in him. Church, we need to get this morning. Sometimes church people have a hard time seeing where they are bound. Sometimes believers have difficulty admitting that there are areas of their life that they are not walking in complete freedom. He says to the Jews who believed him, "If you continue in my word," that's what the King James says, "if you hold to my teaching, if you continue on in it, don't let go of it, then you really are my disciples." Now, there are a lot of Christians today that are not disciples. There are a lot of Christians today that are not really experiencing the freedom that Christ died to give us. He says, "If you'll hold to my teachings, continue on in it, then you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We can be bound by religious traditions, things that we've been taught in the past, things that we've heard, and things that maybe we've just formed opinions about ourselves over the years. Those can all become religious traditions. We can be bound by doubt and unbelief. We can be bound by all kinds of worry or fear and anxiety. We can be bound by depression. We can be bound by a habit or an addiction. We can be bound by any kind of sin. In fact, Jesus says in this passage, he says very plainly that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And he says, "If the Son sets you free, then you really are free." Now, I want you to hear this. Jesus wasn't saying these things to make these people feel bad. He wasn't putting them under a load of condemnation. And this message this morning is not to make us feel bad. It's not to put us under a load and tell us that we are not free. No, rather, it is to tell us that Jesus wants us to be free. Jesus wanted these Jews that believed in him, he wanted them to be free. And he wants you and I to have complete freedom in Christ. Jesus doesn't want us to feel bad and feel beat down, but he just wants us to truly be free. Now, some people, as I said, they don't know that they need to be free. And some know they need to be free, but they gave up on it. They have exhausted all of their efforts and all of their possibilities and done everything they know to do, and they have just resigned themselves to accept that they are never going to be truly free in a certain area. Some people just given up on really being free. Freedom doesn't come from the absence of obstacles. It doesn't come from the absence of temptations. And it doesn't come from the absence of battles. It comes from Jesus, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. And I want to tell you this morning that if you've gotten to that place where you just say, well, I can't win, I can't really be free, or I can't really have freedom in this particular area, you need to realize this message is for you this morning. Because Jesus is the one who can set you free. If you've said those words or had that mindset or maybe said to yourself, well, this is just the way it is. Or what's even more common, we hear people say this sometimes, is, well, it's just the way I am. It runs in my family. Biblically, that is a generational curse. But Jesus sets free from those curses. Amen. Jesus has the power to set you free from those areas in life that you just can't seem to get victory. Jesus has the power, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. There are people that believe in Jesus. There are people that believe in God and people that even believe in Jesus Christ that are not walking in all the freedom that Christ has for us. Now he says to those Jews that believed on him, if you hold to my teaching, if you continue in my word, then you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A couple of verses later, he says, the Son, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. Well, he's talking about the same thing in John 14 and 6. It tells us, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. The Son is the truth. And when you know the truth, it'll set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In John 17, when Jesus is praying, he says to the Father, he says, thy word is truth. And John 1 and 1 tells us that Jesus is the Word made flesh, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, Jesus, the truth, he'll set you free. A lot of people, like I said, believe in Jesus, but not really free. But if you stick with the Word, now this is what Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. He said, if you'll stick with the word, if you'll continue in the word, if you'll stay with my teaching, if you'll just press on, stay with it, there's a progression, there's something that's going to happen. He says, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now they had heard his teaching. They had heard his word. They believed in him. There are a lot of believers today, they've heard it, they don't really know it. You see, there is a difference in just having a mental assent, a knowledge of something, and getting to the place where you really know it. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We got to continue in his word. We got to hold to it. We have to renew our minds with the word of God. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's how the Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, as you renew your mind with the Word of God, as you change the way you think, you change what you know, it will transform your life. It'll radically change your life when you renew your mind. We got to get our way of thinking lined up with God's way of thinking. In John 17:17, I mentioned it a minute ago, but Jesus prayed. He said, thy word, your word is truth. Now, it's truth that sets free, and the word is truth. The word is the source of truth. So we need to understand, it's as we renew our mind with the word of God, and we know that truth, then the automatic progression is that we're set free. If knowing the truth sets you free, then what binds people up? Lies and deception. Satan is the father of lies, the Bible says. He is the master of deception. That's how all this mess got started. In the garden, Satan comes, and probably for the first time ever, Eve heard a lie. She was deceived. Satan just changed one little word in that sentence. God said that in that day that you eat of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you will surely die. And Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. He just added that one little word, not, in there. And he deceived Eve. He convinced her that God was holding something good back from her. That she was missing out on something. You know, and it's amazing how that Satan still uses those same principles to get people to sin, to get people to go against the Word of God. He tells them there's not going to be consequences. It won't happen to you. Well, it'll be different for you. And he tells them, you're missing out on something good. God's holding something back from you. Sure, it's quiet in here. It's deception. It's lies that bind people up. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to keep people from enjoying the abundant life that Jesus comes to give. And he does that through lies and deception that binds people up. You know, you can tell when somebody's deceived by what comes out of their mouth. Just listen to them long enough. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And I'm telling you, we need to change our confession. Now, I realize that when you say the word confession in the body of Christ today, some people get all kinds of weird ideas, and for some people, red flags go up. But I'm just telling you, we need to get our conversation in line with the Word of God. That's what Joshua 1:8 means when it says, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. That you keep your conversation in line with God's Word. If God's saying one thing, you shouldn't be saying something different. We're talking about walking in truth. And he said his word is truth. And so if our conversation is contrary to the word of God, we're speaking what? Lies and deception. We need to get our conversation in line with the word of God. You got to agree with God's word. All of God's promises are for us, but you have to agree with them. And you know, I have shared this verse several times over the last year. It's another one of those I think we're going to get. Amen. We're going to get. And if you're tired of hearing this verse, well then get it. All right? It's 2 Corinthians 1:20. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Listen, however many promises there are, the answer is yes in Christ, and the amen is spoken by us. Now, amen just means, so be it. It means we agree. It's putting a period on the end of the sentence. That's it. It's a done deal. Here's the promise of God. Amen. It's done. We agree with the promise of God. All too often, believers, I'm using the term rather loosely, believers don't believe that those promises are really for them. They don't agree with those promises. They don't say amen to the promises. And consequently, they're not walking in the freedom that Christ has for them. So I tell you, that truth of the promise of God will set you free. We need to live by faith. Live by God's word. A lot of people don't live by faith. They have a dying faith. Here's the extent of their faith. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. They believe one promise from the Word of God, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins so they could go to heaven. And that's the extent of their faith. It's a dying faith. Or when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And they just negate the rest of the promises of the Word of God. But if you'll notice in 2 Corinthians 1:20, he didn't say, now this one promise is good for you. No, he said all of the promises of God, however many there are, the answer is yes in Christ. We just need to get in agreement with them. Listen, in Acts, when the Holy Spirit was spoken of, Peter said, this promise is for you. And every generation the Lord our God shall call. Listen, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. That promise is not just for a few, it's for everybody. But here he tells us that all of the promises of God, the answer is yes in Christ. Church, we need to get a hold of that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. That's what Romans tells us. When we get a hold of the promises of God, it will cause faith to come and then our confession will change. In other words, we believe and therefore we speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. One of the reasons that people are so bound up, hindered in their spiritual life and not really living in all that God has for them, they're so limited, is because they don't really believe the promises of the Word of God. You got to know those promises. You got to know those spiritual truths. And when you do, then you will speak. I believe, and therefore I speak. When we speak the Word of God in faith, we're not denying reality. We are believing in a greater reality. It is the Word of God that framed the worlds. It is by His Word that He spoke it all into being. Everything that you see came into being by the Word of God. You see, what I'm saying is that everything around us, this natural world, and our situation and our circumstance, they are all temporal. They are all subject to change. But God Himself, who cannot change, He's not subject to change. And God, who cannot lie, listen, His Word will not change. So we need to understand that when we speak the Word of God, when we agree, we get our conversation in line with the Word of God, we're not denying reality. We are speaking a reality that supersedes what we see in the natural. Now, when I say we don't deny reality, you know, sometimes I hear people that deny reality. I'm not sick. So we understand that it is code when you call and you say, I'm not sick. Could the elders of the church come pray for me? Come on. If you're sick, it's okay to say, hey, I'm sick. I need prayer. We're not denying reality, but we believe in a greater reality. It's called truth. That by His stripes, you are healed. That the prayer of faith, the elders will anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise you up. That's a higher reality. That's the truth from the Word of God. Amen. And you see, when we have needs and we have problems, we have struggles, we don't deny the reality of those things, but we just believe that the Word of God is a greater reality. And that the things, the situation, the circumstance, the problems that we're dealing with in life are not the final truth, but rather the Word of God is. And so we speak the Word of God. We believe, and therefore we speak. I'm telling you, listen, angels respond and act when the Word of God is spoken. Things begin to happen when His Word is spoken in faith. Romans 4:17 says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. You see, we don't deny what is, but we call those things that be not as though they were. God did it. And when we speak according to the Word of God, when we have our conversation in line with God's Word, listen, It's okay to repeat what God says, all right? Amen. When you speak the word of God, you're okay. Amen. It's okay to repeat what God says and to say what he says, no matter how silly it looks. And he calls those things that be not as though they were. Now, I know that confession and speaking in faith has gotten a bad rap because of some abuses and because of some misconceptions and maybe caused some hurt and disillusionment in the body of Christ. But listen to what Jesus says about faith. Jesus said, all right? Everybody with me. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Jesus said it. Jesus taught it. We need to get a hold of that, church. Get a hold of the word of God and speak it in faith. Most people, as I said, they believe in God. Most people in America believe in Jesus. But even among born-again, Bible-believing Christians, there is a stronghold of doubt and unbelief that keeps people bound. It keeps them from really serving God. It keeps them from enjoying the blessings of God. It keeps them from being effective for God. It limits their being used of God, fulfilling the call and the purpose of God in their life. And it takes the truth from God's word to tear down that stronghold. Now, strongholds in the mind are strongholds of deception. And they don't come down easily. That's why they're called strongholds. You're not going to tear them. It's not a house of cards. You're not going to tear them down in a second and just blow them over. No, it's a stronghold. But the Bible does tell us that we can tear down those strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. And I just want you to keep in mind that wherever there is deception, there's bondage. And there, if there is a stronghold where there's been a deception, there's a way to tear that down. It says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, he's talking about those thoughts. There are strongholds in people's way of thinking that have to be torn down. And how are you going to do that? With the word of God. It is the truth that sets free. When you know the truth, that stronghold comes down and you're set free. Now, he mentions these spiritual weapons that we have. First of all, we have the weapon of prayer. When we pray in the name of Jesus, there is great authority and power in that name. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that name, that Jesus is Lord. Listen, there's power in that name. Demons tremble at that name. So we need to realize the weapon that we have in prayer when we pray in Jesus' name. There's a great power here. We mentioned just a minute ago, Jesus taught in Mark 11:23, there's a great weapon when we speak words of faith. You speak and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you're saying is going to come to pass. It says, it will be done for you. Now that's what Jesus said. And what a powerful weapon that we have. But most of all, I want you to see that it is the Word of God itself, which is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is a spiritual weapon that we can demolish those strongholds of deception in our mind, in our life, so that we can be truly free. Jeremiah 23:28-29, it says, let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. Anybody got the word? Now, he's talking here about his true prophet. But I'll tell you, if you're a child of God and you've got the word of God, If you've got the Word of God, He says, let the one who has my Word speak it faithfully. Are you speaking the Word of God? Or you do talk just like everybody else? Well, no, I don't cuss and carry on like they do. Listen, there's more to being a Christian than just that you don't cuss as much or drink as much as somebody else. God has something much more for you than just a little dab of religion. He wants you to truly be free. And so He says, those who have my word, He says, speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? You see, we tear down those strongholds with the hammer of the Word of God. And a lot of the time, you don't get it just in one shot. You don't get it overnight. Sometimes you got to stick with it. You got to continue. You got to hold to His teaching, and you will know the truth. And when you know that truth, guess what? You're finally free. We need to know the truth of the Word of God in regard to our situation. And whatever your situation is, whatever your difficulty, whatever your struggle this morning, I want to tell you there is a promise in the Word of God for you. There's truth from the Word of God that will help you, that will set you free in that area. And you know, one of the things that I really felt like the Lord gave me for this morning is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, where Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, we're living in a society right now where so many people are under such a burden, such a load. They feel such responsibility, and they feel so much anxiety and pressure being put on them. And Jesus, you know, He spoke this to the people of His day right then as He walked this earth. But could it ever be more timely and fitting than for our generation? And He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all of you who are under this burden. Now, I want to tell you, there's a great truth that will set you free this morning if you can know it. If you can continue in it and take hold of it, it'll set you free. Because He says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what Jesus wants for you. He wants you to be set free from that old heavy burden. And all you say, oh, but I got responsibilities. Well, you need to just trust God. You need to turn that over to Him. Let me tell you something. Here's your responsibility. It's to obey God. Yes. Just do what God wants you to do. Let Him take care of the rest. Amen. Just go ahead and give the worrying over to Him. Now, He won't worry because He's not worried about anything. There's something there for you to get now. He's not worried about anything. He's not in a panic. Listen, the pressure's not getting to Him. And you say, but God, look at me. What? He's helping you. He's trying to help you right now. Here's a truth that will set you free. Take my yoke, He says. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And some of you need to change your confession this morning. You need to get a hold of that verse of Scripture. And you need to start saying, I've taken His yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And no matter how you feel, what it looks like, remember, we're not denying reality, but we are appropriating the promises of God, the truth of the Word of God, calling those things that be not as though they were, and we say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you'll continue in it, if you'll hold on to it, you're going to be free. You're going to be smiling, you're going to be happy, you're going to be doing what I preached last week about rejoicing. See, there's a lot of people that can't get to that place where they're really rejoicing in the Lord always. And the reason is because they're bound up by things. You need to get free. And here's one of those areas where we need to take the Word of God like a hammer and bring down that stronghold of anxiety and pressures and all these burdens and say, no, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen. Church, we need to get it, that there's a promise, there's a truth for us, whatever our situation is, and we need to know that truth, appropriate the truth of the Word of God in our life, that it is a greater reality than what we see. And by faith, we call those things that be not as though they were. That we believe what God says about it, and therefore we speak what He says. Hold to His teaching. Continue in His word, and the truth will set us free. James 1:22-25. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." Now, there's that deception problem again. And what does he say? He says, when you don't walk in the word of God, when you don't do what it says, you're deceiving yourself. And what happens to deceived people? They get bound up. They're not walking in freedom. In fact, Jesus says, if you're in sin, then sin is your master. So when we're not obeying the word of God, we've allowed something else to be our master, and we're not free anymore. Now, I just want you to understand, you know, when we talk about sin, sure, we can all think of really bad things that other people do. But what he's talking about here is when we don't obey the word of God, when there are things that Jesus taught, the things that are principles that are laid out for us in Scripture, and somehow we make excuse. We excuse ourselves. We have deceived ourselves. We have put ourselves in bondage. Instead of really experiencing the freedom that Jesus has for us, we put ourselves in bondage by deceiving our own selves. So he says, don't just be a hearer, deceiving your own selves, but do what the Scripture says. You see, we've got to hold to it. We've got to continue on in His teaching. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he is like. You see, the word of God will show you who and what you are. I'm talking about the truth of the word of God. It will show you who and what you are. But when we just walk away and we forget it, we're like that guy that he looked in the mirror and saw who he was, and then he forgot what he looked like. There's a lot of believers today, they look into the word of God, they hear it preached and taught, and then they just go their way and forget what the word said about them, what the Scripture says about their situation, what the Scripture says about who they are in Christ. Listen, the devil will even try to convince you you're not born again. The Scripture says that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. Now, you got a choice. You can either continue in the Word and believe the Scripture and walk in it and hold to it, or you can believe the lie. You see, the Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the enemy will come and he'll say, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. You must not be a true Christian. You must not be born again because you're not really a new creature. Why, you still got some of these old habits. You still have some of these old weaknesses. You still have some of those old desires. And you really blew it the other day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you, when you got born again, you never had any more evil desires or thoughts, or you never ever had a problem with sin again in the rest of your days? Anybody? No, you see, all of us, none of us arrived that day. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. What are we talking about? We're talking about standing on the truth of the Word of God. Not denying reality, that you don't still have some problems, that you don't still have some things to overcome, but we're standing on the promise of the Word of God. And that's exactly when you need to be appropriating the promise. So I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. I fell back in some old ways. That's when you need to agree with God's Word and say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. behold, all things are become new. I'm not that old man anymore.
Amen.
That's when you stand on the Word of God and you appropriate the promise.
Yes.
But the man who looks intently, verse 25 of James chapter 1, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law that gives freedom. What are we talking about this morning? Truth that sets free. The man who looks intently into that perfect law of liberty, that law that gives freedom, and continues to do this. He keeps on. He sticks with it. You see, you got to know the truth. He continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in his deed. You see, the one that's finally going to get victory, the one that's really going to be free, is the one that holds to the Word, who continues on in it, that looks intently and continues therein. You live it out. You keep going and you just live it out, walk it out in your life. I tell you, you're going to find real freedom in Christ. Now, I just want to give you a quick run through this morning. We need to know these things. And you know, I've talked before about who we are in Christ, and I'm not going to take long. I'm just going to wrap this up. But, you know, you need to know the Word of God about your present situation. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you. You know, many times you'll hear something preached or something taught, that, and God will speak to you through that and really give you a word through somebody else. And it may not even be somebody in the pulpit. It may be a brother or sister in the Lord that shares something with you, and it's a word for you. But I just want to encourage you this morning that there is a truth for you. There is a promise for you. Somewhere in here, there are scriptures, there's truth that speaks to your situation, no matter what you're dealing with. No matter what your problem, if it's your finances, if you need healing in your body, you got problems with your family, problems at work, there are scriptures, there are principles, there are promises and truths that are going to apply to your situation, and you need to find them, and you need to know them. This old lazy, shallow Christianity doesn't get you free. It's when you know the truth. You continue on in it. You hold to those teachings. Then you know the truth and you are really free. I tell you, that's what Jesus wants for us. But you need to know the scripture about your current situation and what you're dealing with. But you also need to know what the scripture says about you. And you know, it's such a great analogy there in James chapter 1 where he talks about the man that looks into the mirror and then goes and forgets what he looks like, that the man who looks into the Word of God and then forgets it is just like that guy. You see, because the Word of God shows us who and what we are supposed to be in Christ. And so as we look into the Word of God and we see the truth of who and what we are in Christ, we can't forget that. No, we have to hold to that. We have to continue in it. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. I believe the Lord will speak to somebody. There's somebody here that's struggling with one of these areas. 1 John 5:1. Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The devil comes to you and says, you got you have these thoughts popping up in your mind. There's a stronghold maybe even saying, well, you must not really be born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you really believe that Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the dead? Then the Bible says you're born again. And you need to settle it. You need to get complete freedom over that doubt and those fears. 1 John 5:4 says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you overcome. You might feel like a loser. You might say, well, that's not me. That's not applying to my situation. It's not talking about me. Well, then you need to start appropriating this truth from the Word of God. You need to say, this promise is for me, and I agree with it, that I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and so I'm going to overcome. already quoted this one, but 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ, no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen. Now, some people just have a hard time. You know, they've been so indoctrinated with not just with the philosophy of this world we live in, but even with religion. They have a hard time getting a hold of this, what I'm talking about this morning, calling those things that be not as though they were, and speaking spiritual truth in the face of your present reality. Let me tell you, here it is, Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Does anybody think that Paul was up on the cross with Jesus at this time? I'm crucified with Christ. No, he is talking about a spiritual truth. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. But it's no longer I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. And you might be saying this morning, oh, but I'm struggling with this, and I have a hard time with that, and I was yelling at the kids this morning. And listen, you need to say, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. But not me, it's Jesus living in me. Now I realize if you say that out loud, your kids might go, no. You need to get it. You need to walk in it. You need to believe it. You need to keep saying it and confessing it until you see it as a reality in your life, as a truth that you're living out every day, until you know it, and it will set you free. It's no longer me living, but it's Christ living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by what I see. I live by faith in the Son of God. Yes. Come on. Yes. See, he's not just going by living by sight and what he's experiencing, but he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who lives in me? Jesus lives in me. 1 John 4:4, greater is the one who's in us than he that's in the world. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, you're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you were washed, you're sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We got any sanctified people here this morning? Come on, sanctified people, holy people, God's holy saints. See, y'all are afraid to get on board because you know that other people know you. We're not talking about something, listen, we're talking about what the Word of God says. And this truth supersedes your present reality. Listen, call those things that be not as though they were. Strange, but we don't have any problem. Most of us don't have any problem with understanding this about getting to heaven. But we have a hard time appropriating the promises in any other area. But I'm telling you, the same one that's taken you to heaven, he is able to sanctify you. He's already done it. He's washed you, sanctified you, justified you. He is able to heal you, to set you free. He's able to give victory in your life. Listen, you need to say, I'm God's child. I've been bought with a price. I belong to him. He has justified me. If he's for me, who can be against me? I am part of Christ's body. I'm redeemed and forgiven. I've been set apart for him. I cannot be separated from the love of Christ. I don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Come on, church. You see, you say, oh, but I'm afraid. I have this problem with fear. Well, it's time for you to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen, you need to get Psalms 91 out, and you need to go over it. It's your insurance policy. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come on me. Come on, church. We need to know the truth of the Word of God and realize that it's for us. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. See, some of you, you got trouble and problems following you. You need to start getting a hold of this and saying, no, goodness and mercy follow me. You need to change your confession. You need to change what you're believing, what you're walking in. You need to know the truth. Where's the source of truth? Well, what I've experienced, what I've always known. And no, it is the Word of God is the truth, and it will set you free. I'm dead to sin and alive to God, Romans 6:11. Slave unto righteousness. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus.